Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
We're in the book of Psalm, chapter 11, and you can just follow along. I'm reading this morning from the NLT. I trust in the Lord for protection. How many of you know that's a good thing to do? Where else are you going to turn? Because God knows every plan of the enemy. I trust in the Lord for protection. So why do you say to me, fly to the mountains for safety? I want to just pause for a moment and call to your attention. When Nehemiah was looking to rebuild in Jerusalem, they came under constant attack. It's not a strange thing that as God is working and moving in our nation, that there is a tremendous attack being raised up against righteousness. And I know many would call it political. They would say that, you know, the work of Charlie, that he was a political activist and other things. But really, Charlie was a man of God. He was an evangelist. And he was ministering the Word of God on campuses and to young people all across the country. And so the real fight against truth is where Charlie ended up in the crosshairs. And because he was taking a stand for biblical truth that exposed the lies of the darkness, he was in the crosshairs. And I want to remind you that if you're a godly person, what Jesus said is true. If they hated me, they will hate you. You say, who are they? They are all the demons, all the powers of hell, the principalities and powers and rulers that are in high places, and those who are in the skin that represent them. A lot of people are totally deceived today, and so we have an opportunity to see God touch them. And so when Nehemiah was encouraged, why don't you go to the temple? Why don't you hide out in the temple? It'll be a safe place. Nobody would bother you there. And I've remembered what Nehemiah said. Why would a man such as I, why would someone with a call on my life, why would I, who have this great mission, why would I hide from the enemy? Why would I hide from those who plan to take my life? And I believe all of you know by now, it's certainly been in the news plenty, depending on where you're getting your news, that Charlie Kirk and his family had many, many, many threats on his life. This was not a new thing. He knew that. He knew his life was threatened. And he understood that there was a very strong attack of evil against him and his ministry. Look at our president. Our president also, which when you think about it, he too is under attack. And you say, well, he's under attack because of the party he's with. I believe he's under attack because he has stood up against the darkness in our nation. And I pray for him that God will continue to raise up godly counsel around him and that he will continue to bow his knee to God. I did hear a change in President Trump after the shot clipped his ear. It seemed to me that from that time, I know that Franklin Graham spoke to him and encouraged him to put a guard on his mouth and be sensitive in his language and also to give God glory for his protection. And I have seen that our president received that counsel on some level, and I have seen some openness and change in that, and I thank God for that. But we need to pray for him. We need to pray for all of our leaders. And our salvation is not in a political party, and it's not in Donald Trump. Our salvation is in the Lord, just as the salvation of our young people was not tied to a Charlie Kirk. Charlie simply was lifting up the flag and the banner for Jesus Christ, and God called him and raised him up. So trust in the Lord for protection. So why do you say to me, fly to the mountains for safety? The wicked are stringing their bows and setting their arrows in the bowstrings. They shoot from the shadows at those who do right. This wasn't written this morning. This is a few thousand years old, right? So this is the war, the spiritual war. The foundations of law and order have collapsed. And you understand that the judges and the courtrooms across our nation have been very corrupted. And there is a very high level of wickedness and deceit that takes place in the judicial system. And this is not new either. Satan always goes to take a place where he can manipulate and control the destiny and the direction of a nation. And so there's a lot of warfare going on because we have judges that are seeking to control our nation from a wicked perspective. And we need a cleansing. cleansing in our judicial system. And we pray for that. We pray that this will take place. Thank God on the Supreme Court, we've had some righteousness brought into the Supreme Court so that we do see some sanity being brought forth on that level. But the foundations of law and order have collapsed, and that's the plan of the enemy. What can the righteous do? Well, I have to tell you, I grew up with the King James translation, so when I think in King James. And so as I was in prayer about this morning, the thought that came to me is, what can the righteous do when the foundations are being destroyed? What can the righteous do when the foundations are being destroyed? This has been the condition of our nation. Our nation has had an erosion of its foundations. And though we had strong Judeo-Christian foundations in the establishment of our nation, today, from the courthouses to the schools, the universities, to the churches, we've had a great falling away. Thank God there is a return. There is a return that's in process, progress, right now in our nation. And we are a part of that, thank God. So if the foundations are deteriorated, what can the righteous do? But the Lord, verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. That's calling our attention to the fact that God still reigns. God reigns. God rules over all. He rules from the heavens. He watches everything closely, examining everyone on earth. The Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked, and He hates everyone who loves violence. He rains down blazing coals on the wicked, punishing them with burning sulfur and scorching winds. For the Lord is, verse 7, the Lord is righteous, and He loves justice. Could we say that as a family together, just repeating the word? For the Lord is righteous, and He loves justice. This is our God. Those who do not do what is right will see His face. The word says the day is coming when every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Righteous and unrighteous. Thank God, the righteous, we're already bowing our knee, aren't we? And we're confessing Jesus is Lord. But there's many more to be saved. Amen? Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. This is an account that you're familiar with, I trust. Most of you will be familiar with it. And I'm going to read through the scriptures this morning so you can follow along. And to set the context, if you read chapter 5, you would find the story of Belshazzar. And of course, he is the son who rebels against God, brings out the instruments, the vessels that were used in God's temple. They had been at one point sacred, set apart to be used only for the service of God. He brings them out for a big party to celebrate his own power and his own significance, and wanted to do that drinking from those cups that were intended only for a part of the worship of God. So that night, that was the night that Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, was killed. Remember, the hand showed up on the wall, wrote on the wall. However, Daniel has been in leadership. As we know that, Daniel served many years in leadership. And Darius the Mede took over. And Darius divided, tells us in verse 1, the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a prince to rule over each province. So all of Babylon, which was the largest power on earth at that time, is now split into 120 different, for us we would say, sort of like states, and there would be a leader over each one of those provinces, those areas. And the king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the prince and to watch out for the king's interest. So out of that 120 group of leaders, Daniel and two other companions of his are raised up to oversee the 120. Now, I put into my notes that when the righteous are walking with God in the Spirit, the favor of God is upon them. And when the favor of God is upon you, the disfavor of Satan will rise up against you. You're taking a stand for God, whether you're 4 feet tall, Nick's taller than that, or Frida's taller than that too. or whether you're 7 feet tall, we're not talking about a physical stance. We're talking about a spiritual stance. If you are standing up for God in your marketplace, wherever that is, in your life, in your family, in your community, in this generation, if you're standing up for God, as you walk in the Spirit, the favor of God is going to be upon your life, and that will bring upon you the disfavor of all of hell. And Satan will rise up against you and seek to find an enemy somewhere that can find something wrong with you to try to shut you up and shut you down. This is seen clearly in Daniel's life. And so Daniel proved himself. New king, he proves himself. He's more capable than all the other administrators. That's in verse 3. Because of his great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Verse 4 gives us a little bit of insight into the activity that Satan is scheduling. Then the other administrators and princes began searching for some false or fault in the way Daniel was handling his affairs. This is exactly what's been going on with our president. Nonstop, around the clock, there are demons that are assigned, that are committed to finding something to shut down the voice of the American president that's giving freedom to the people of God. This is an hour of great favor for us as the church. The church has gained more ground in recent years than we've had in many, many years. And we can definitely see from the courthouse to many homes and many political parties and leaders across the nation, they have been searching to find something, to get something to stick. Put him in jail. Take his life. Take him down. Do something to shut him up. Now, I'll tell you, if you don't have any problems in your life, you might want to check and see how close you are to Jesus. You may not want to hear that. But if everything's going perfect with your children, your grandchildren, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your business, in your finances, in your health, if everything's going perfect, you might want to just check and find out where you stand in the lineup of the battle. I've had many people over the years, precious friends, some are probably listening this morning, who said, Jonathan, you know, we receive from the ministry, we enjoy it, but you guys are always facing problems. It seems you go from one challenge to another challenge. You're in issues with the government, you're in issues, you're suing the government, you have all kinds of stuff going on. Every time you go to pull permits, you have opposition. Every time you go to get your funds, there's opposition. We're going to have to find a church that's a little quieter. And in fact, I've even had people tell me, you know, Pastor, if we were really doing what God wants us to do, we wouldn't have any opposition. Wrong. Wrong. Jesus did not die on a cross because everybody loved him. He died on a cross because he was doing the Father's will. He was hated by the religious, and he was hated by many of the politicians because they were threatened. Their power base did not stand up against the wisdom and the anointing of God that was on his life. The word says, in this world, you will have trouble if you're in the kingdom of God. It's part of the way spiritual warfare works. So then the other administrators and princes began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling his affairs. However, they couldn't find anything. Now that is a good testimony right there now. You want to have a good testimony on your job? Do it as unto God. Excel. Show up early. Stay late. Do more than it is expected of you. My father always told me that. Son, you've got to go early. You got to stay late. Going early was always a problem. Staying late was not a problem. But there's something that happens when you decide whether you're driving, whether you're a carpenter, whether you're a nurse, whether you're a teacher, whatever you're doing, whether you're working as a chief janitor, keeping the city cleaned up. That's a spiritual calling to clean things up. That's what Jesus came to do. Whatever you're doing, if you excel at that to the point to where those who are not righteous cannot find anything legitimate to charge you with, that is a great testimony. Do you know what? That kind of a testimony, you don't even have to speak. Your life will scream it. Because when you look at this with me. They couldn't find anything to criticize. And then there's three different words. Your translation may use other words, but it's going to come out the same way. He was faithful. faithful. Say faithful. He was honest. Say honest. And was always responsible. Say always responsible. So what does it mean to be faithful? To be faithful, it means you're trustworthy. It means that those who you are serving can place their confidence in your word and in your work because you are trustworthy. You're faithful. You're going to do what you say. You're going to be honest. So faithful. The next is honest. I like that word. Look it up and pull it up in your phone. Take a look at being honest. Take a look at being faithful. Honest means that without deceit, you're a truthful person. You're not a person of lies. You're known to be responsible. We have this word, responsible, reliable. A person who is responsible and reliable is someone that causes things to happen in accordance with what is expected. In other words, this unrighteous king, Darius, he is able to trust Daniel above everyone else because of these godly characteristics that are in his life. How many of you understand that these are still pretty rare, and in some professions more rare than others, but we're seeing today certainly in politicians they are quite rare, have been quite rare for a long time. And I hate to say this, but I believe these qualifications of being faithful and honest and responsible have been too rare even in the ministry, in the house of God. When I go and I look in the Word of God and I look at Eli, you remember Eli. He was the high priest, right? Eli had a problem going on in the temple. What was the problem? It was his own children. What were his children doing? They were seducing the women who came to worship. And Eli knew about it, but he did nothing about it. He looked the other way. He ignored the wickedness that was in his own house. Incidentally, we have a word for that today. We call it enabling. When you somehow pay for or empower someone to do something that's evil, you may not agree with it, but if you're enabling them to stay that way and not confronting it, we call that enabling. You're actually accountable for what's going on in their life to a certain degree. We see that. What about with Samuel? Here's Samuel being raised up in Eli's house. Samuel's just a child. The peer pressure in Eli's house would have been his own boys. His boys were immoral. So here is Samuel being raised around a couple immoral boys, and yet somehow God kept Samuel pure. And Samuel's a godly man. He has these characteristics: trustworthy, he's honest, he's responsible and reliable. Samuel had these, and he was anointed. And so Samuel, as he's raised up, he has a family, he has children. And this has always concerned me because we see that Samuel comes to the day in his life, he's not going to live much longer. He's been an amazing prophet. He's been an amazing leader, an amazing judge. And the people have had great respect, and God's blessing has been on the nation. But now the people are beginning to be disgruntled, and the people are beginning to raise questions, and they begin to say, "We want a king. Samuel, you're old. You're an old man. You're not going to be able to do this much longer. We want a king. We need somebody that's going to lead us." And then they just laid it right out to Samuel like it was. They said, "Your boys are not like you." What a tragedy. For the highest spiritual leader in the land, in Israel, for their sons, whether it was Eli and now it's Samuel. And don't think it's strange. The enemy will try to add all of the garbage to your children that was in your life. Thank God the curse is broken in Jesus' name. Curse is broken. I pray that over my boys. The sins of the fathers, the grandfathers is broken in Jesus' name. The power of the blood and salvation is greater than all of that. But we see these things. And so these are characteristics that are needed in the house of God. And the favor of God follows these characteristics. And I believe it's appropriate to pray that leaders are able to fulfill these requirements as spiritual, godly leaders. And if they are not, it's appropriate to pray that God will change them or remove them. There's not a thing wrong with saying, "God, we've got somebody in this office that is, they're introduced hell on all kinds of levels to our city, to our school system, to our judicial system. We need to get rid of these people." Or if you're in a church where the leadership has gone woke and they're not preaching the Word of God, and they're not willing to call sin, sin, and they're afraid they're going to lose their crowd if they speak what the Word of God says, then we need to pray that they're removed and that God brings in a revivalist that has a heart to speak the truth. It's amazing to me and shameful to me that so many pastors say, and some of the largest pastors in our nation will say, oh, I'm not going to talk about those sins. I'm not going to address those things. There's plenty of people that'll deal with that. I just want to bring people to Jesus. Well, you bring them to Jesus, and Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost. And he came to confront the works of the devil. He came to expose them. And if I ask you this morning, why did Jesus die? He died because of our sins. What is that verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So how do we get everlasting life? We have to have forgiveness. And so with Daniel, we see that Daniel was a godly man, and we need godly leaders, and the enemy will raise up opposition. So they concluded, these are the other leaders. Think about that, 120 against 3. They're opposed to him. They're conniving. They're digging through the trash. They can't find anything. And then they said this, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the requirements of his religion. Now, I hate to even use the word religion when people don't even know what righteousness is. We need to say, you know, I'm a Christ follower. I'm a born-again Christian. And people say, well, you know, I take it that you're religious. Well, I want to be righteous before God. The word religion has been smeared a lot, hasn't it? But they looked at this and said, we're going to have to find something between Daniel and his God and come up with some way from that angle, or we'll never get him. You know what they did? They ended up getting a law passed. Sounded good to the king. They went in and, you know, give orders for the next 30 days. Anyone who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to your majesty, pampering his pride, right, will be thrown to the lions. And let your majesty issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed. That's exactly what happened. But I want you to look at verse 10. This is a significant verse in this chapter. As we look at it, the question is, what did Daniel do when opposition was raised against his God? What did he do? Let's look at it. When Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and he knelt down, as usual, in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Now, I love this because this is a great answer. What do the righteous do when the foundations have been crumbling? They've been under attack. The foundations, the plan of the enemy is to destroy those and is still working to do that. This is a foundational principle. Live righteously, walk with God, and continue, regardless of what comes at you, to honor God and seek God in your daily walk with him. 3 times a day, Daniel's praying. I believe there are many Christians that would have shut the window. Said, I can still pray without opening the windows, leaving the windows open. I can pray and they won't hear me praying. God's going to hear me praying. I can still do that. Yeah, I was with a bunch of preachers and they were talking about praying over our food in a restaurant. And, you know, the one pastor, he was asked to pray and he just looked up to heaven and winked one time. And the rest of the ministers said, well, you didn't pray. He said, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to God. Sometimes I think the enemy would love for us to quiet down with our testimony. Don't be quite so verbal, so visual, so public with your witness. Just quiet it down just a little bit. Just shut the windows on your witness. Just close it a little bit. Daniel did not do that. And I believe we can see from someone that did not have what we have. He did not have the born-again experience. He did not have the power, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit like we do today. And yet he was a man of godly character. He's trustworthy, dependable, and he was a man that said, I am not going to back down one schmidget for the enemy. I'm going to continue to honor God. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to seek his wisdom. I just wonder if Daniel didn't even pray a little louder. As you begin to stand in the face of the enemy, God will strengthen you and you will find a supernatural anointing come on your life that you have never experienced experienced before. Now, you may not want to sign up to go to the lion's den, but if the enemy has that in his plans, you better go there after you've stood up for God. Why is this that people who do not stand up for God want God to stand up for them? Why is this for people who only curse and swear and damn the name of God want to blame God for everything going wrong in their life? It's God's fault. Why did God let this happen? Why is this going on in my family? Why is this going on with my kids? Because that is exactly the work of the devil. That's exactly what he does. I believe as Daniel prayed, I just think that his custom was not to pray to be seen or to be heard by man, but his custom was to not be silent either. This was who he was. He walked with God. He had the wisdom of God, and it made the devil angry. Well, they had him arrested. They threw him in the lion's den. And King didn't want to do it. The king liked Daniel a lot. He was the highest ranking leader in the nation next to the king. And the king couldn't change it because the law was such it couldn't be changed. And the king even went to bed. He's fasting. The king's all concerned. Very early the next morning, verse 19, the king hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God." I don't know how early it was. I don't know if Daniel was even awake yet. I like the pictures of Daniel in the lion's den where he's sleeping on one of those big lions, you know. And the only thing keeping Daniel awake is the belly of the lions going, "Hurr." I think the lions were hungry, and that was the only sound that you could hear other than praises to God. But early in the morning, the king doesn't know what he's going to find, but the king was hopeful. Unrighteous people who are in your family, around your life, may not want to hear your story and your testimony. They are watching you. And if you are a blessing to them and a blessing to their business, a blessing to them and your family, they're watching you. And when they get in trouble, they're going to be hopeful that your God will hear you when you pray, just like this king. He doesn't know for sure. He doesn't have a personal faith. He doesn't have that going for him, but he had such respect for Daniel that he goes there. He doesn't send some servant. He goes there himself. He's hopeful that the God who made Daniel so special above everyone else is able to take care of him. He got there. He cried out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you worship continually able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God, where's your God? My God." The enemy may be out there attacking, but my God has got things under control. We need to get a fresh grip on this. Yes, the foundations are still fractured. There's a lot of repairing. There's a lot of reworking, a lot of rebuilding that needs to be done in our nation. But my God, same as Daniel's God, sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths, so they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight. That's one thing for the wicked to not be able to find anything to accuse you of. It's another thing for God to say, "Michael, my son, I'm going to take care of Michael. There's nothing wrong in Michael that I haven't fixed. I'm at work in his life." It's an awesome thing, Bill, when God looks at you and says, "Yeah, I know Bill. He bangs on stuff. He makes too much noise." I'll have people come and say, "Why do you have a drummer that makes so much noise?" Because it drives the devil crazy. Drives the devil crazy. Say, "Oh, I don't like so much noise. I need to find a church that's quiet." There's plenty of cemeteries around town. Help yourself. We may not have the full orchestra yet, but I believe they're coming. They're somewhere out there, Bill. We've had them before. They're coming. But we make some noise because we believe our God is worth making some noise about. If people can go to a ball game and holler and shout, we're in a restaurant the other night with some of the family, and there was a ball game on, and it happened to be a sports restaurant. And about the time the game got going, they're over there going, "Rawr!" waving their hands and carrying on. And I thought, I can surely do that for my God. My God, my God. Daniel says, my God, sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so they could not hurt me. And I've been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. I want to drop down to what came out of this. The majesty is impacted by the witness of Daniel. I decree, verse 26, I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. I love it when the devil is defeated and God uses a wicked man to preach the gospel. Did you notice the other day at Charlie's memorial how many politicians were preaching the gospel? I'm like, hallelujah, this is awesome. They're talking about the cross, the death of Christ, the resurrection, the blood of Jesus, and you must be born again. And I'm like, wow, what happened to Tucker? Praise God. I hope it's all genuine and real. I have never seen anything like that in my life. It's exciting. It's happened in the Word of God, but it doesn't happen without great spiritual battle. Out of great spiritual battles, and some get taken home to glory during those battles. Some end up being shut down. Some end up being injured physically and graduate right into glory. But the result of great spiritual battles is that our God wins, and even the unrighteous are moved to accept our God. He is the living God. He will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and His rule will never end. He rescues and saves His people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lion.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all